morning and welcome to the worship service of Central Congregational Church in Attleboro Falls on this seventh Sunday after Pentecost. Today we're joined by the chair of our Board of Deacons, Wayne Netney, and Dave Valerio, our musical director. So Wayne, would you please call us to worship?
Certainly. Lift your eyes to God in the highest heavens to see God's glory. Reach out your hands to Jesus to know God's love through Christ. Feel the breath of the Spirit that whispers hope. Let us worship the God who reigns by entering the depths of our humanity and setting the humble soaring on the wings of the Spirit for the sake of eternity. Promise, Christ the Promised One, Holy Spirit from God to the Church of the Promise, we come to worship you as we are drawn into the community of the new covenant in Jesus Christ. Bless your people wherever they are gathered in the name of Jesus Christ. Be with us as we share the prayer he taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
And this is the time for our mission moment. So Gil Reinders has it this morning. So Gil.
Hey, good morning, everyone. Listen, we're looking forward to the July project that the mission committee has put together, and that will be providing backpacks filled with school supplies through the Greater Attleboro Area Council for Children. And this is something that I've been involved with over the years when I was working with the Salvation Army. And, you know, we used to do a backpack distribution in cooperation with the City of Boston. And actually it was held at TD Garden and the Bruins Foundation supported it. But the great part about it was, you know, we'd have 5,000 to 6,000 kids come with their parents to select backpacks. And you'd see the kind of the joy on kids' faces as they picked the backpack that they would like to have and filled with school supplies. And that's what our local council is doing. The only difference is they provide the backpacks to the schools, and then the principals are able to give them to the children that are in need of those school supplies. So, you know, everyone starts school kind of on an equal basis, and they've got the backpacks and the materials that they need. So we're asking that you'll make a monetary contribution to support their efforts. And we're hoping that with our support, it will help them to be able to provide additional backpacks than they've provided in the past. So when you submit your check sometime in July, just put the acronym GAACC, GAACC on your check. And just a little feedback on the June project that was for providing healthy lunches through the Kids Summer Cafe Grab and Go that the Attleboro Area Interfaith Collaborative has done over the years. And we've always supported that. And Pam from our church, who really is the organizer of that. And our returns for June are a little lower than usual. We're just kind of under $100. So if that's a project you'd still like to support, we haven't sent a check off yet. So feel free, if you overlooked supporting that effort, you can feel free to do so. But once again, thanks for all of your help. And remember Lenore's Pantry, they're always in need. If you can drop some food off at the church, that's also helpful. Okay, so everyone have a good day.
And this is the time we share announcements. Do any of you have an announcement you would like to make? Please feel free to unmute and speak out. Okay, no amount announcements today. So I'm going to ask Dave, Mr. Dave, if he would introduce his music. There are words in the chat. They're not very good because I did them this morning, but they're there.
Good morning, everybody. And our opening hymn was Sweet Hour of Prayer. And this is a sweet hour for all of us to join together and be together in prayer. Our hymn that we're going to sing is Holy, Holy, Holy. And if you do go to the chat button, they are in there. And you click on that button. And let's just see a nod of the head if you see that in there. Anybody out there? Can you see the words? No? No, Madison? No? No? Maybe you can try to repost it again, Reverend Carol? Or
is it? I think that's why she does it the very late. It's only the people that are in the meeting.
It's only the people that were on.
Well, let me try to repost.
Okay, we'll give you time.
Wait a minute. Give me a minute.
So she's doing this. We want enthusiastic singing from everyone.
Yes.
Muted.
Yes. And while I've got some people here, and while Reverend Carol's doing that for us, once we get back towards church and have a start date, you will start hearing about choir. And I haven't forgot about you, but we're going to talk, and we're going to talk about that, how we get back started, and how we warm up our voices, and how we engage as a group again in church. So that is coming, you know, with the opening of church again, hopefully. So everybody saw the chat? Okay, so click on the chat and let's all sing Holy, Holy, Holy. The trumpet starts and plays one verse, and then we have two.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Dave, for that. I have good news in that Sue Winship is doing better. She seems stronger each day, and I'm so proud of our wonderful church family and all of the responses that came in to help Sue recover from her radiation and chemo treatment. So thank you from the bottom of my heart. Another celebration is I had the opportunity to be with Chris White from Atlanta, Georgia. She was up this way yesterday, and it was good to see her as well. She misses all of you and says, please send her love to you all. Are there any other celebrations that you would like to lift up?
Many of you would know Maddie Follett, and she participated in a national Irish step dance competition in Phoenix, Arizona. And in her category, this was the first time she ever competed as an individual. And out of, 200 to 300 kids, she finished in eighth place. And so she came home last night, a real happy camper. And so we just celebrate Maddie as she continues on her journey here with this Irish step dance.
That's wonderful. That's really wonderful. Good for her. Good for her. Any other celebrations? If not, then we'll turn to our concerns as a church family. We pray this morning, certainly for people who are ill and others in need of prayer. And we remember these people especially. Rich Goss's brother, Tom, Cher, that's Maddie's mother, Sue, Bobovoy and sister Marge, Tyler, Len at home and in hospice care with Nancy at his side. Lee, that's Tyson Bowles' sister. We pray for Marie, for Joe Brigham's mother, Betty Brigham. She's doing much better. She's now at home. For Jennifer, for Loretta, for AJ, the Bishop Feehan hockey player, and Ed and Janet Dyer, who are both back home this week. So I'm glad to be able to report that. Those who are in the nursing homes or assisted living, we pray for Jackie Glass, for Carolyn Farrell, and Doris Brunel. We also have been asked for prayers for the Corrigan family on the passing of Ray, who is Tyler and Kayla Valerio's grandfather. So our thoughts and prayers go out to those families. And I was informed, I think it was by you, Gil, that he saw that the Lansons had a very bad problem with a tree falling on their house during that last storm. So we're going to try to catch up with them and see if there's anything we can do to help them get through that damage. So if you know anything that I don't know, which is practically nothing, give me a call, please. All right. Any others I cannot think of at this moment? So we pray for all of those whom we've mentioned. And of course, we continue to pray for an end to this pandemic. We pray for those who suffer from ongoing addictions. We pray for the well-being of our nation and our community. So please join with me in prayer for all who are in special need of God's grace this morning. Let us pray. Eternal God, you have created us in your own image, but too swiftly we lose our likeness to you. We gather in this time of worship and admit that our minds are often occupied by thoughts outside this service and your presence. There's so much to be done, and we cannot even sit still anticipating all that awaits us. Help us to come into this time of worship and enable us to hear your still and quiet voice. Open us to the revelation of yourself in our lives. Lead us in the way you would have us go. Keep us mindful that all people are made in your image and that we owe them their right to dignity and respect. Keep us faithful in your call to us to care for one another. And may we never be ashamed to call upon your name. We also ask that you bless all of those people whom we have mentioned already today, those who are ill, who are in pain, who are struggling with ongoing medical issues. And hear now the names of people that are on our minds and on our lips during this time of silence. Gracious God, close our mouths and open our ears, move our bodies to do your will today and every day. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
Mustard seed is one of the smallest seeds, but it grows into a huge plant. This is Mark's third parable of growth. In this parable, Jesus teaches that although the kingdom of God started small with Jesus and the disciples, it would grow and spread across the world to unlimited number of followers. I'll be reading from Mark chapter 4, verses 30 through 34. Please hear these words. He also said, "With what can we compare the kingdom of God? Or what parable will we use for it? It is like a mustard seed, which, when sown upon the ground, is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes the greatest of all shrubs and puts forth large branches so that the birds of the air can make nests in the shade." With many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. He did not speak to them except in parables, but he explained everything in private to his disciples. May God help us in our understanding of these words.
Thank you, Wayne. I came across a riddle recently, and I know I've seen it before, but I always forget the answer. It is said that only 17% of Stanford graduates figured out this riddle, but 80% of kindergartners know the answer. So here it is. What is stronger than God, more evil than the devil? Poor people have it, rich people don't need it, and if you eat it, you will die. Does anyone remember the answer to that, or have you ever seen it? Raise your hand. Don't be shy. Yeah, you're right where I was. I think I should have gone to Stanford or been in kindergarten longer. The answer is nothing. Nothing is stronger than God. Nothing is more evil than the devil. Poor people have nothing. Rich people don't need nothing. And if you eat nothing, you will die. It's a riddle. It's a good one. Jesus taught the people about God and God's purposes, often speaking to them in what the Bible does indeed call parables. So what is a parable? Well, it could be called a riddle. It is a succinct story used for teaching purposes based on the simple premise that is easily understood on one level, but also reveals a very deep spiritual lesson. Parables were well known to the Jewish people because there are many of them in their writings as well. They're throughout the Old Testament. This was a very natural way for Jesus to teach his understanding of God's purposes in the world, especially about God's kingdom. Mark's gospel is the most succinct. It's the shortest gospel in the Bible, probably the first one written. And it records just a very few parables. It talks about a farmer sowing seed on good ground and rocky ground, a lamp that is made to be shining out and not hidden under something where the light does no good. And this one that we read this morning about a mustard seed. Matthew and Luke have many more that are more familiar to us, like the prodigal son and the good Samaritan and the lost sheep. In today's scripture lesson, Mark records that Jesus told these parables to all the people who had come to listen to his preaching, but he only explained them to his chosen 12 disciples. So in its own way, a parable is indeed a riddle. It's a story that leaves the listener with the responsibility of figuring out what it means. And that is all the more difficult for us who live in Massachusetts 2,000 years later, and don't know very much about sheep or Samaritans or mustard trees. We need an ancient Middle Eastern context. President Ronald Reagan used to tell a favorite story of his about a very timid man who ventured into a biker bar one day. The little man cleared his throat nervously and asked, "Which of you gentlemen owns a black pit bull which is chained outside on a parking meter?" A giant of a man wearing Biker Gear turned slowly on his stool and looked down at the little man and snarled, "It's my dog. Why do you ask?" "Well, sir," he said very nervously, "I think my dog just killed your pit bull." And the man was in disbelief. He says, "What? What kind of a dog do you have?" He said, "It's a little Pekingese." "Well, that's ridiculous," said the biker. "How could your Pekingese possibly kill my pit bull?" And the man, swallowing hard, said, "Well, it appears it got caught in his throat." Well, the basis of this little parable is the power of little things. Thanks to Benjamin Franklin, we're familiar with the old English proverb, "Mighty oaks from little acorns grow." King Solomon wrote in the Song of Solomon, "It is the little foxes that destroy the vines." I know you understand the intent. So let's think about this little parable about a mustard seed. Have you ever seen a mustard tree? I'm not sure I've ever seen one in this country. But when I was in the Holy Land, our tour guide pointed out a mustard tree. I know I've never seen one in New England or Colorado, the two places that I have lived for some amount of time. When I was a child, many of us had a necklace or a bracelet that had a small glass globe that contained a mustard seed. Raise your hand if you had one of those. I did. Yep, many of us did. Now, I'm no horticulturalist, but this is what I have read. The mustard tree is different, totally different from the mustard plant. The mustard tree does not give us our mustard. That's what the mustard plant does. The seed of the mustard tree is a very, very small seed. And it does grow into a tall tree with wide branches. And Jesus' point seems to be that great things can come from very small, seemingly trivial things. John Robert Wooden was considered the greatest college basketball head coach of all time. He led the UCLA Bruins men's basketball program to an impressive number of wins, 664 wins to 162 losses. How did he do it? Well, people say that he was a stickler for getting the little things right. For example, players would gather for the first day of basketball practice at UCLA, and they were always full of anticipation. They were wondering how this miracle coach that managed to get them on his team would deal with that. What magical things would he tell them to set the tone for the long season to come? And they didn't have to wait very long to find out. The veterans on the team knew what was coming. But first-year players were no doubt perplexed by the initial lesson imparted by this famous coach. He taught them how to put on a pair of socks. He did not teach this lesson only once, but before every game and every practice. Why, he was asked, do you do that? Well, Wooden discovered that many players did not properly smooth out wrinkles in the socks around their heels and little toes. And if that were not done, those wrinkles could cause blisters that would hamper their performance at crucial times during games. And many players thought the practice was odd and they laughed about it. And Wooden knew some of them laughed about it, but he would not compromise on this basic, fundamental, very small thing. He said, "I stuck to it, I believe in it, and I insisted upon it." And look at the results. Wooden never left anything to chance. And perhaps neither should we. Successful people are aware of the small things, the trifles that other people overlook. There's an Ethiopian proverb that puts it this way: when spider webs unite, they can tie up a lion. The gospel itself is a rather unique celebration of the seemingly small and insignificant things. Carl Sandburg told of two men exchanging gossip in a general store in Hardin County, Kentucky, one day in February 1809. "Anything happened over the last week?" he asked. One man asked. The other said, No, nothing happened. Oh, except there was a new baby down to Tom Lincoln's house. I think it was a boy. With hindsight, we know that baby grew to be the still considered greatest American president of all times by every poll that is taken. Bethlehem was a small town. Nazareth was too. Calvary was a tiny spot on the globe. There was nothing particularly significant about the profession of carpenter or fisherman or tax collector. the tiny mustard seed planted 2,000 years ago by Jesus and his disciples must have shown very little promise at the time. But that is the lesson of the tiny mustard seed. We're asked to believe that God and Jesus sowed the first seeds of the kingdom of God. And that is the story of the church as well. The seeds developed into a tree with wide branches. And the parable says that birds found shelter in those branches. As people find comfort in our churches, whoever would have believed that from those often inept and uneducated 12 disciples, the gospel message would have spread to every corner of the globe? You and I are here today, 20 centuries later, because a tiny seed was planted. And then those 12 went on to plant more seeds, and God gave the growth. As disciples of Jesus Christ, we are charged to continue to sow seeds. God's word. We understand that that's God's word, I think. And it's the reason we send our children to Sunday school. It's the reason we have a very active mission committee that engages us in the world. And it's the reason the Central Congregational Church makes a difference in the community in which it is. Are there any other tiny seeds we could be planting? Some word of love, some act of encouragement for another person? The kingdom of God is like a seed scattered on the ground. Is there some seed you and I should be scattering today in order to help make this a better place for everyone who passes near us? That, I think, is what Jesus was trying to teach us in this little parable. Amen. Grant to the living grace, to the departed rest, to the nation peace and concord, to all of us your servants the promise of everlasting life, light to guide us on our way, courage to support us, and your blessing to unite us in service to you, our God, and this our country. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
And welcome to our service and to our virtual coffee hour. Stick around if you have the time. Love to talk to you.